All right, thanks so much to all three of our CARI speakers and to Leslie. I know that we have had a few questions come in, so we're going to start to do those questions, and I think we'll start by asking a few of the questions that came in for Leslie, and then we'll move over to a few for CARI. If you haven't yet had a chance to ask a question, you can still type one in now, but we'll get started with the ones we have. Wendy?
Great. Thanks, Andrea. Okay, so first for Leslie, do you have resources or suggestions for residential energy competitions within a community?
Sure, yeah. I think that's a great question, and if the makeup of your community is more residential than commercial, or if you just want to add that to the mix, that's great. I should mention that multifamily properties can be benchmarked and tracked in Portfolio Manager. About 20,000 buildings across the country are doing that right now. So if you've got multifamily on your list, feel free to use it in Portfolio Manager. We've got some resources for multifamily efficiency as well through Energy Star. Through the Energy Star residential program, we have something called the Home Energy Yardstick. Nothing's keeping you from benchmarking your home in Portfolio Manager. I might be one of the only ones who are doing that because, you know, I'm kind of a nerd that way. But, you know, because Portfolio Manager is really set up to be a commercial tool. Feel free to use it for homes if you want. The Home Energy Yardstick through Energy Star is something a little more simple to use. It's designed for the homeowner. They can get a 1 through 10 score, and you can integrate that into your competition. And the resources we have for helping homeowners save energy in their home are very vast, and there's a residential portal at energystar.gov/homes.
Great. Thanks, Leslie. The next question for you. Do you have any suggestions for incorporating and comparing competitors who have already implemented energy efficiency measures prior to the competition, but who have not yet used Energy Star to measure energy efficiency? Some contestants would be at a disadvantage if they begin with a lower baseline energy use compared to those who have not yet begun their energy efficiency efforts.
Sure. That's another great question, and I think that is a very important thing to consider. If you want your competition to be interesting and fruitful and offer recognition for those that have started along this path of finding improvements and improving their actual performance and those that have just never thought about it at all, one tactic we've seen work is offer various levels of recognition. So perhaps offering recognition for 10, 20, 30% over a baseline is great. That sort of is available for everybody, no matter where you're starting. But then also adding categories for top performance in, let's say, a building category. So which is the top performing office building? Who's got the top performing school, et cetera? Allows you to recognize those that have maybe already been working and have improved their building in the previous years. One thing we have done in the National Building Competition is try to engage those early adopters or model participants in sort of a mentor role. We have a Facebook page. We have a peer network, and we have guest bloggers from our participants that have, you know, done the work in their buildings and want to share their experience. So giving them the experience and the ability to do that might make the competition more interesting for those that may have already been taking these measures in the past.
Great. So the next question for you, one participant asked how to select and track metrics on a community scale. That since the Portfolio Manager operates on a building scale and doesn't track community characteristics.
Sure, and I'm happy to say that we have some sharing features in Portfolio Manager that allows you to roll up all of those building level metrics. Let's say you've got 50 competitors across your community. All those 50 competitors, if they're using Portfolio Manager, they can share access to their account if they choose to, or if you just want to create a custom report and distribute it to them, they can send it all back to you, And that custom report can then be rolled up so that you can very easily quantify how your participants are doing and, you know, add up their results for energy, greenhouse gas emissions, and water or cost. So as long as the participants are in Portfolio Manager, you can roll them up. I would say the broader community level type of energy consumption that may include transportation, residential, commercial, other types of, you know, at a different level. There are other tools out there that I think can help you quantify that. I might actually put Andrea on the spot because I think she works more with those tools than I do. I know organizations like ICLEI have some helpful tools.
Yeah, thanks, Leslie. And this is actually a great chance for us to announce that we are in the process of developing a very simple Excel-based tool that will help local governments do a very quick and dirty look at both their government operations as well as the community-wide emissions. It's still, you know, it's not a complete bells and whistles kind of tool. You're still going to have to get the data from, you know, from various sources, so there's still going to be a lot of work involved in coming up with those numbers, but it will at least provide a simple framework to help you do that. And we're hoping to have a draft of that available for some beta testing in spring. So stay tuned. If you're on our listserv, you'll definitely hear about it. If you're passionately interested in it, you can feel free to email me. It's denny.andrea@epa.gov, and that can kind of be a nice complement to the more building-specific data that you would look at through Portfolio Manager.
Great. Thanks to both of you. So we'll move on to questions for Carrie. We do have some more for Leslie, so if we have time, we'll come back to them. But for now, we'll move to questions for the Carrie group. And the first question is, what was the construction cost for the Station 8 facility? I don't know if Emily, if you'd be the best to answer that, somebody from the Carrie group.
Tony and I are just conferring to make sure we say the most accurate number. We have budgeted $8 million for that station, and I think the project has to be completed until we can tell you actuals.
So was the question for sustainability cost included in the fire station or the fire station itself?
The question was for the facility itself, but I'm sure participants would be interested in the sustainability portions as well.
Well, I can confirm that $8 million was for the project, but we should. It's not an $8 million fire station. There are a number of other tangential projects, some road widening and some other issues that we did that we put into the project. But the fire station itself is probably going to be between $6.5 and $7 million. That includes the sustainability components, and I apologize for not having an answer to the breakout for sustainability costs.
I have that. Council did approve an extra $105,000 to assure that the building was high performing, and that was incorporated into the cost after we got the original bid from the architect. So in the future, I think because of our experience, we'll be able to integrate it into our first bid. So I'm anticipating that price might come down.
Great. Thanks to both of you. The next question for the Carrie group. How is Carrie handling the lag in data from month to month from utility companies for reporting purposes during the competition?
Tony's grinning because he bugs me for it. In a friendly way, he's not grinning as much now, but in a friendly way that I appreciate because it means they're excited and they want to know. Yeah, basically we just have a lag, and the young women are really intent on finding out how they've done.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Leslie. I just wanted to weigh in just a bit on that question. It's a great one. There is lag time, and you also want to keep in mind that some of your participants will have different billing cycles that may start mid-month, and we have built that into our sample competition timeline in our competition guide through Energy Star, and it includes tips like, if you're on an annual basis, you probably shouldn't say that you're going to announce the award winners until, let's say, March or April, so that you can give time for those mid-month billing cycles and the lag time from the utilities, the time it takes to benchmark, and the time it takes for you to figure out who won the awards. So that's in our timeline as well.
Great, thank you. So the next question for the CARI group. I'm curious if you are normalizing the energy use data for weather, hours, occupancy, et cetera, between 2011 and 2012.
We are not, and the reason for that was just simplicity, and also, all of our stations experience the same kind of weather, and to compete by percentage really means you're competing against yourself, and really that was a major point of concern. Just to tell a little story, we really have raised awareness. We have one station who has a different kind of equipment than the other stations do, and they kind of cried foul a teeny bit and said, everybody's coming to us to fill up their air tanks. We have this compressor. We think it's putting us at a disadvantage, even though they were still competing against themselves and they still had that use, we had anticipated last year. So we had an academic partner, NC State, come evaluate how much that piece of equipment uses, and we actually did adjust their results by that small amount. It didn't really make much of a difference as far as their standing goes, but it is kind of illustrative of awareness raising.
Great. Thanks, Emily. The next question, please comment on the budget process the firehouses had to finance energy conservation changes. So what budgeting did they have to implement their energy conservation changes?
That's a really good question. For this particular competition, we did not budget any money to do changes. The competition is all behavior-based. We are putting in grant-funded retrofits now, but a lot of those are taking time to implement. We're doing the small changes first, for example, tightening up some of the doors and windows and some of the bays. So we don't feel like the stations where we're expending that grant funding will be at an unfair advantage.
Emily, if I could weigh in, I understood the question was how did we fund sustainability features for Fire Station 8, the one under construction, and so.
Oh, 8. I thought that
may be a little different. I may have misunderstood the question.
Do you want to talk about 8?
Well, you can. You and Tony.
Okay.
Ask the question again.
So, as I understood it, based on Chief Kane's clarification, is what was our process for going through that budgeting? And I can answer that we did go to council, and it was one of the first presentations that I did as a sustainability manager to council, lining out what we would get in return for that extra investment. It was a challenging conversation because one of the options that was on the table for them was to either do high-performing building for a certain dollar amount or LEED certified for another certain dollar amount. And we had some very passionate citizens from our council-appointed environmental advisory board wanting to go all in and have a high-performing building with LEED certification. And I, as a staffer, had to recommend what staff felt was the best option. And so we are choosing what we're calling a LEED-compliant building with that extra funding that council did approve.
So it was general fund capital funding, not grant funding for the features in Station 8.
Thank you.
So we have a couple more for Carrie. The next one is for Chief Kane. Are you partnering with any national organizations to roll out the challenge?
Partnering may be a stretch, but earlier this summer, Tony and I made a presentation at the annual conference of the International Association of Fire Chiefs, and we introduced the Fire Chiefs Energy Challenge there as well. And we do have another person. He is working more closely with Emily to take the lessons learned in Cary and to the Sustainability Committee of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. So we have some indirect partnerships there, no direct partnerships there. And we do also to intend to make another presentation at the North Carolina Association of Fire Chiefs and North Carolina Association of Firefighters joint annual conference, but that will be next summer as well.
And just for my part, I've been working with a woman who's been drafting the outreach plan for this Fire Chiefs competition. We haven't officially launched it and won't until after the first of the year, but we would like to have some conversations with some national organizations to, for example, we think some of the national organizations would be a great way to publicize those folks who have taken the challenge. So we'll see how those conversations go.
Great, thank you. So the last question for Carrie, and I think you may have touched on this in one of your previous responses, but is Carrie planning to utilize the LEAD program for the next new fire department?
I think what I heard from council during the conversation was with the budget being as it was, a very challenging budget year, they were not prepared to approve the extra cost of LEAD. As we've drafted our most recent RFP for a new building, because we were approved to build another building, we've understood from some architects that LEED certification can be actually provided at very little additional cost. If we are able to get LEED certification with little to no additional cost, that may be on the table. But if the additional cost is what we were quoted prior, we may not. As you guys all know who work in local governments, you have to look at the lay of the land and budgeting realities and determine the different choices that you're going to present to council, and ultimately they make that decision. I feel like we had a few council members who, in different economic times, probably would have voted to have a LEED building. So that's the best answer I can give you.
That's great. Thank you. So now moving back to our questions for Leslie. Do you have examples of energy challenges in towns smaller than 40,000 people?
Off the top of my head, I don't know of any. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know, we sort of organically track these things, and I know about them when folks contact us. I would say that there's certainly nothing keeping you from launching a campaign in a smaller town. Sometimes the motivation and friendly competition might even go further in a small locality because everyone knows each other. So I would encourage you to launch one and don't be intimidated. I think the flexible scope of these types of programs allows you to launch whatever works for your specific community.
Great, thank you. The next question is, one participant said that my community is served by a local utility. Can they tell what private sector customers already have portfolio manager to discuss or market a competition to?
It's a great question, but actually they cannot unless they have some sort of utility-sponsored program where they have been asking building owners for benchmarking results. Our portfolio manager tool is a voluntary tool that we host and maintain and provide training on But it's a password-protected account, so if a building owner or an organization opens a portfolio manager account, that's for their own information only. If they want to share it, they certainly can. But, you know, I would say that the better route to go through to get the word out to market is tapping into local organizations like, you know, Carrie had that great list of regional governments that they partnered with, but also think about local building-oriented groups like USGBC, or your perhaps they have industry-specific groups like a hospitality or business improvement district. Those marketing channels are probably the better routes to go through.
Great. So the next question, transportation represents a significant portion of greenhouse gas emissions for communities. Is EPA working on being able to track this through portfolio manager or through any other way? One participant is interested in keeping track of miles both for commercial use and for family use.
Hi, great question, and that's a very, very good point. Depending on what type of community you live in, transportation can be a large part of your greenhouse gas emission footprint. We currently don't have the ability to track transportation in Portfolio Manager. I don't really think that's part of our scope, as we're very a building-focused tool at this moment. Not to say we wouldn't do it in the future, but I do think we may have within EPA a transportation quantification tool, and I apologize that I don't know what that is off the top of my head. But if the person who asked that, if we're able to follow up with them, we've got your name, we can do some digging and follow up.
Yeah, you can feel free to contact me. This is Andrea at denny.andrea@epa.gov, and we can talk more about some of the options. It kind of depends, you know, at what level you want to track. There are definitely some tools out there, you know, to help with things like looking at employee commuting and things like that. So, you know, if you're looking at how to integrate it into a competition, you know, there might be some things out there. So it would kind of depend on exactly how and what you're looking to track, but please do follow up with me, and we can talk more about that.
Great. Okay, so the next question is, are there any resources for introducing ENERGY STAR to the lay business person and make it less scary?
Sure. So, you know, if you want to introduce the general program, we have free publications that you can either take, you know, messaging talking points from, or you can actually order these publications right online. They're designed for the average consumer or, you know, building owner occupant. That's energystar.gov/publications. They're very friendly looking and colorful.
Free.
Sorry, thank you. They're cost free. You can order some. We have a very quick 20-minute recorded presentation. If you're referring to the Portfolio Manager tool, we have a recorded tour of the tool that I don't think is very intimidating that goes through, you know, the very simple inputs, how you get started. It talks about how you only need monthly energy bills from your utility bills and what kind of information you need to benchmark with Portfolio Manager. It talks about how you don't have to know very complicated systems level information about your building to use the tool. That's all available in our benchmarking starter kit, which is at energystar.gov/buildings, the website that was included in my final slide. I hope that gets at what you're looking for.
Great. The next question is, will the next version of Portfolio Manager incorporate green button utility data?
It's a good one. And yes, thank you for reminding me. I should have reminded or informed the group that we are currently undergoing a major upgrade development program or process for Portfolio Manager. It's getting a facelift, and it's going to get modernized from a software perspective and a user interface perspective. Green Button is currently a effort that is including utilities that have committed to providing their customers upon request electronic energy billing information at certain intervals. A lot of them are doing daily or even 15-minute interval data. It's very kind of off the shelf for residential energy information because it's at the meter level, and many homes just have one meter. For buildings that have multiple meters, we are looking and partnering with DOE and the Council of Environmental Quality at the White House, along with utilities across the country, to figure out what needs to happen on the technical and policy side to integrate green button data into a tool like Portfolio Manager. I think we're also looking to the private sector to have, we're looking for some of the IT companies out there to perhaps develop some solutions as this becomes more mature. So it's on our radar screen. We're working on it. It's a great question, and I would say stay tuned.
Great. Next question. Can we work with EPA or Energy Star on getting access to the Yardstick tool and or people in our community who are using Portfolio Manager for everyone who wants to participate in a residential competition?
Well, you can certainly just take our Yardstick tool and host it on your own website. We have that publications website I talked about that's at the EnergyStar.gov homepage. We've got publications that are free for you to order, and they include information about the Yardstick, so as well as Portfolio Manager. So if you don't have to take any special steps to use the tools and resources we have available for you, go ahead and use them. Partner with Energy Star, tell us about how it's helpful, but it's there for you to ready to go. I don't know if that answered the question. But the short answer is yes.
Okay. The next question, you mentioned an industry-focused program or tool through EPA. Is that through Portfolio Manager or something else?
Another great question. The industrial program here at Energy Star has a very similar approach to our commercial buildings program. Their tracking tool is a bit different from ours. Just like our Portfolio Manager tool, it is based on whole facility energy use. There are tracking tools available at energystar.gov/industry. They have energy performance indicators, which is the equivalent for industry-specific 1 through 100 score for, let's say, pulp and paper or cement. So that's kind of like how we have a score for office buildings or schools. And they can earn Energy Star certification by using that tool and showing top performance. They also have a general tool that any type of manufacturing facility can use and track their energy per widget manufactured performance over time, and anyone can take part of the industry challenge through Energy Star regardless of their type. The tool's available for free at energystar.gov/industry.
Okay, great. And so now we have our last question, which is very similar to one that was asked previously, but I'll ask it in case there's anything else to say, and that is, does Energy Star or other programs support a residential energy challenge, and is there an effective model to follow?
Yes, we absolutely are supportive of the idea. We think that a residential energy challenge is a great way to motivate homeowners or multifamily communities. You can use Portfolio Manager for multifamily properties. We have something called the Home Energy Yardstick for homes, and our Energy Star residential branch has a lot of off-the-shelf resources to help you in your education and outreach efforts to reach the homeowners with very actionable, simple tips and messages to encourage greater home energy performance.
And I would just add to that that I would encourage folks to look at what some of our climate showcase communities are doing. They're not necessarily officially running a residential energy efficiency campaign, but we have a number that are targeting residential energy use. And so they have some great strategies and tips about how they're working with residential, or, the residential sector, what types of outreach has been successful, and those sorts of things. So I would encourage you to look at those. You can get to that at epa.gov/climate showcase, and you might get some good ideas there as well. So if that's all the questions, I would just like to thank everyone for participating today and for sticking around till the end of the Q&A session. I think it was a really great webcast, and I hope that some of you are inspired to join the Fire Chiefs Challenge or to launch a competition in your own community. Thanks, everyone.
This concludes today's conference. We now